This is Morning Edition. I'm Tom Kooser. The recent deadly shooting at Marjorie Stoneham Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida, by a 19-year-old former student, has brought not only gun control into the national conversation again, but also the effectiveness of mental health care. Signals given off by the disturbed young man, who has confessed to police, might have connected him to the help he needed before the attack on the school. But they didn't. That's not necessarily unusual because men and boys often don't interact with the mental health systems in this country. That's what Dr. Wisdom Powell has found. She's a psychological scientist and the director of the Health Disparities Institute at UConn Health, and she joins us in our studio. Dr. Powell, welcome.
Thank you.
Why don't males connect well with mental health care in America?
It's a pretty layered issue. Boys are not encouraged to share their feelings, and they're not usually equipped with the emotional language to even describe what's happening in their interior lives. So we have this sort of priming, if you will, for shutting down emotion and displaying emotional stoicism that puts men and boys at greater risk.
How did you discover this disparity? Like, what led you to investigate this?
So it was pretty apparent to me that if you look at the epidemiology of mental and physical health outcomes, that there is a stark and glaring gender disparity. We see boys reporting less depression and also not likely to meet clinical criteria for major depressive disorder, but committing suicide at higher rates than women. And that suggests that some men may be suffering in silence. So the first signal that this area needed attention was a really sort of basic scientific social epidemiologic gap, right? But then there's the personal side, the fact that I am a mother, a wife, a daughter, an auntie, you know, and that I care deeply about the boys and men that are around me. And the fact that I realized quite early on in my own family system that we had lost some of the patriarchs pretty early due to premature death.
Are there gaps in the mental health system itself that make it more challenging for men and boys versus women and girls to seek support when they need it?
I think so. One of the things we've learned is that men are really concerned, and this is in a general sense, with being providers for their families. And if you take a situation where you have a man who is low income and who is working in a position with very little job flexibility, he's not going to take a day off of work to go for preventive screening or to address an issue like feeling sad or down or discouraged. He's probably more likely to go to work and take care of his family than he is to pay attention to his own needs. And so we need more care provision outside of normal clinical hours. We need to flip the clinic, for example, offering services for men and boys on weekends and at nights.
On a personal note, the company that we use for physicals, they send you the questionnaire, and a whole group of questions mm-hmm. has to do with feeling sad or depressed or, mm-hmm. you know, does it affect the number of hours that you were able to do your work this week? And, you know, I just go down, no, next page. You're not supposed to think about that.
Exactly.
And I've often wondered, is the same list of questions given to women and girls?
And you've hit on something really critical, Tom. You know, we've talked a lot in the mental health community about the ways that we even assess symptomatology in men and boys. For example, one common question on a depression inventory is, have you been crying a lot? Well, I think men get sad, and surely men cry. At least we hope so, because that's a healthy way to respond. But that's not likely the typical way that a man or a boy might express distress. He may, in fact, be more outwardly expressing. He may become more angry, more irritable. And that kind of symptom display is something that we have to look out for. And also, we have to be cautious about how we respond to it, because often that kind of behavior leads us to want to respond with more behavioral control, like for boys in classrooms, for example. You know, if you're acting out in a classroom with anger and rage or irritability, you're more likely to be pushed aside into a detention or something like that, when in fact you might be displaying those symptoms because of undetected trauma exposure, undetected depression, undetected anxiety. And we just don't do a good job at filtering out what those symptoms might look like for boys and men.
What then do you think needs to be done to fix or at least to improve our mental health care system?
Yeah, I think that from an institutional perspective, we have some clear opportunities, especially here in the state of Connecticut. We are now embarking on implementation of lots of innovation in the healthcare system space and transforming the way we deliver care. That transformation should include some attention to providing training to frontline healthcare services staff about how to interact with and screen for mental health issues with this population. I think we definitely need universal integration of primary and mental and behavioral health care. There is no way that we're going to solve this problem for boys and men or for any population if we don't start thinking about it in that way. I think we also could really think about opportunities to deliver care where boys and men are in the communities where they live, work, play, pray, and get educated.
You spoke to members of Congress in Washington on January 30th. Were you able to get a feel for their reaction, the members of Congress you spoke to?
Because of the opioid crisis, which is part of the reason they brought us to the room to discuss this issue, there were light bulbs going off. Because when you look at labor market participation, we see that there's been a steady decline in male participation. And we know that some of that decline is explained by opioid abuse. And so we know that there's social reasons why people are choosing to numb themselves. And so getting policymakers to think about the economic bottom line, the fact that when men and boys die prematurely as a consequence of these kinds of outcomes, we all suffer. And there is an impact on our capacity as a nation to compete in a global marketplace. We cannot innovate and compete with the world on a global stage if half of our workforce is being compromised by untreated, undetected mental health issues.
Dr. Powell, thanks for your time today.
Thank you so much for having me and for really creating a space for this important conversation.
Dr. Wisdom Powell is a psychological scientist and the director of the Health Disparities Institute at UConn Health.